Hello, friends, and welcome to day number 65 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It's such a joy to be with you here on this Good Friday. Well, today we are hitting a couple new milestones, first of which is the Book of Ruth, which we started yesterday, is now complete today when you get through the reading, and we'll be starting a new book, 1 Samuel. So the readings today, according to the Bible in a Year reading plan, is Ruth 2 through 4, 1 Samuel 1 and 2, Psalm 65, and Proverb 3. I'll be reading 1 Samuel chapter 1 from the World English Bible, and you are welcome to read whatever translation is most comfortable and accessible to you. If you need the Bible in a Year reading plan, don't hesitate to click the link in the show notes, and it'll bring you to a page where you can find that PDF. You can pull it up, view it, print it, whatever your heart desires. If you're enjoying the Bible in a Year reading plan, I ask that you do me a favor and click like and subscribe in your listening platform of choice, maybe even leave a review. If you do that, I'd be most appreciative, and know that it helps other people find this show so that we can continue growing the holy habit of reading God's Word each day. Well, friends, without further ado, let us jump into God's Word together. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of the city from year to year to worship and sacrifice to Yahweh of armies in Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests to Yahweh, were there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he gave portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But he gave a double portion to Hannah, for he loved Hannah. But Yahweh had shut up her womb. Her rival provoked her severely to irritate her because Yahweh had shut up her womb. So year by year, when she went up to Yahweh's house, her rival provoked her. Therefore she wept and didn't eat. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why don't you eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose up after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a seat by the doorpost of Yahweh's temple. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to Yahweh, weeping bitterly. She vowed a vow and said, "Yahweh of armies, if you will indeed look at the affliction of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a boy, then I will give him to Yahweh all the days of his life, and no razor shall come on his head." As she continued praying before Yahweh, Eli saw her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Get rid of your wine." Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have not been drinking wine or strong drink, but I poured out my soul before Yahweh. Don't consider your servant a wicked woman, for I have been speaking out of the abundance of my complaint and my provocation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked him." She said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her facial expression wasn't sad anymore. They rose up in the morning early and worshipped Yahweh, then returned and came to their house in Ramah. Then Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and Yahweh remembered her. When the time had come, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of Yahweh." The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to Yahweh the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah didn't go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before Yahweh and stay there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems good to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may Yahweh establish his word." So the woman waited and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls and one ephah of meal and a container of wine and brought him to Yahweh's house in Shiloh. The child was young. They killed the bull and brought the child to Eli. She said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to Yahweh. I prayed for this child, and Yahweh has given me my petition what I asked him. Therefore, I have also given him to Yahweh. As long as he lives, he is given to Yahweh." He worshiped Yahweh there. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks, especially on this Good Friday when we remember that you spared nothing to cover our sins, to provide forgiveness for our sins, so that we might have right relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that as we seek your word today, as we seek to learn from you, that you would send forth your Holy Spirit to remind us that you are with us and that your word continues to reveal your good nature and your will for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, we are in the very first chapter of the first book of Samuel. And if you haven't noticed by now, the main character of this narrative is Samuel, and we see his birth story here in chapter 1. We see that Samuel is the son of Elkanah and Hannah. Now, you might recognize some similarities of the story of Hannah and Elkanah, similar to that of Isaac and Sarah. If you recall, God promised that Sarah would have a son of her own at her old age. They were in their 90s. This is Sarah and Abraham. But there was some drama, wasn't there? Because Sarah gave Hagar, her maidservant, to Abraham so that they might conceive a son. They tried to do it yourself, the DIY method, their own blessing, instead of trusting that God would provide the way. And sure, he did later on. And there was some drama between Hagar and Sarah. There's kind of this provocation. We see provocation here between Hannah and the other wife. So Hannah goes to the temple, the tabernacle that is in Shiloh, and beseeches God to give her her own son so that the provocation and the drama and the pain would finally cease. Now, Eli, who was the priest there at the time, saw Hannah praying. Well, he didn't know she was praying because she was kind of mouthing words but not actually speaking. He actually thought that she was drunk, but Hannah reveals that she was pouring out her soul to God, asking for a son because of all the pain that she has been experiencing. Hannah was providing a prayer of lament and complaint to God. And so Eli takes her at her word and actually offers a blessing to her and says, "May God grant you what you have asked." And it turns out that when Hannah went back home, she does conceive and gives birth to this son, whom she names Samuel, which the Hebrew for Samuel kind of sounds like God heard, right? God heard her and delivered her, remembered her. So this is where Samuel's name comes from. Now she brings him to the tabernacle and offers him to God for full service. Now if you remember, those who were to work in the temple must descend from the tribe of Levi. Those were the temple or the tabernacle workers who supported the priests who descended from Aaron. Now it says that Samuel descended from an Ephraimite. So this is outside of the realm of the Levites and the priesthood. So it's interesting. Why does God accept this person into the service? And by the way, you had to be 20 to start this work. And he was given over at the age 2. And later on, even before he turned 20, he was helping Eli as a priest. I believe this shows us that God can do what God whatever what God wants to do. He is sovereign. He is in control of all. He can do things that seem unheard of in our own minds. We saw this with Ruth, who was a Moabitess, and God wrapped her up into the family of God, and even the quintessential king, David, would come from her lineage. God can do whatever God wants to do, and we're seeing that here again with Samuel. Now, later on, we'll see in the New Testament, in Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession." We are given this royal duty as followers of Jesus when we place our faith in him to be priests to the world. That is, we interact with the people around us. We stand in between God and the world around us. And we offer our praises up to God, and we serve those who are coming and seeking God's face, who are seeking forgiveness. This is part of the joy of being part of the church, where healing occurs and there is forgiveness of sins, and there are the people of God, the body of Christ, going out into the community and embodying this love and doing the work as royal priests. How awesome is that, that God collaborates with you and me to accomplish God's will in the world, to increase God's family, this kingdom that Jesus brought to earth as it is in heaven. So friends, I hope that you lean into all of these truths today and that you claim your status as one of God's royal priests and do the work that God has called you to do. I look forward to seeing you again on Monday. But until then, friends, God bless and happy Easter.